Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the story straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey, folks, time for another In a Mississippi Minute. Thanks for tuning in. I really mean it. I really appreciate you guys. I am Steve Azar, reminding you that my pals at Superior Catfish, homegrown, produced where? Right here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, and then there's Superior Catfish. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com, and man, I love celebrating our Mississippi. The best way to do it and plan a road trip and be proud of it is go to visitmississippi.org. All right, today's guest, well, he's become a really, really good pal since I moved back in 2011. He's one of the greatest to ever wear the number 13 and run the show at quarterback. Who wears 13? I mean, come on. For most of you listeners that already know who it is, just in case, he spent his time roaming the field for Hell State, Mississippi State, back in 80, 81, 82, and 83, and man, did he ever. He played in the wishbone offense, which is like, you don't see it unless maybe Navy runs some sort of a version of it under Coach Emory Ballard. His wonder years were spent in Georgia at Valdosta High School before coming to Hell State. When you talk charisma and you talk that when you finally get one-on-one in the room with him, it's impossible not to admire and love him, even if you attended a rival school. I'm serious. He and his MB have been very special to our Delta Soul Celebrity Golf and Charity event. So let's get to it right now with the 2005 Mississippi State Hall of Fame inductee and catch up with my pal and yours, John Bond. What's up, Johnny?
What's up, Steve-O? Man, that was quite the introduction. I appreciate that. You know, the wishbone, I always think back. I go, wishbone. Yeah, I was wishing I wouldn't break a bone and running that thing.
All right. And let's talk about that for a second. Now, am I even in the ballpark with what Navy runs?
Yes, very much so. In fact, that step motion, you see them, you know, that real quick motion that's going one way or the other, and they'll turn around and go back the other way. Emory started that. We did the first time we did that, we were playing Illinois up in Champaign, Illinois. And Coach Ballard met with the refs, you know, before the game and said, you know, now this is what we're doing, fellas. Now we're doing what we call step motion, and we're moving away from the line of scrimmage, and we're taking more than one step. So it's a legal motion. It's completely legal. And the refs go, yeah. Okay, coach. The very first time we did it, boom, flag, they called us for motion. Emory got so mad, he went out there and said, that's what I was trying to explain to you.
I love it. You're going into character right now. You've got imitation.
Yeah, I have. Every time I say his name, I gotta talk like he talked. It was a great guy.
Were you in the huddle doing that? Yeah, Coach
sometimes
just said, we need to. I mean, hey, what were you like in the huddle? I always sort of. You know, I know that as competitive as you were and still are, but as competitive in those days, I mean, what was it like in the huddle? Were you a little free willing? I mean, were you a little wild in there, or were you just locked in and focused?
Well, most of the time it was locked in and focused, but if somebody needed talking to, I would give them a talking to. If you know, I'll never forget Danny Knight, man. Danny looked at me one time, his eyes got big because I was wearing him out because he hadn't caught a touchdown pass all year. And sure enough, that we got, and it was the play we called. It ended up being an 80-yard touchdown against LSU. And I said, I'm going to stick you with this thing, and you're going to take it to the house, Danny. And sure enough, that play was called. He caught it and took it to the house.
Wow. Hey, let's talk about your record with LSU. Undefeated?
Yes.
Never lost to them. What was it about that, you think?
They were very intense. they had a great defense. Every year we played them, had a great defense. I think they struggled on offense a couple of years, but their defense, the first time we played them, we ended up scoring 55 on them, and that was the most they had scored on them since, in the 40s or something.
Wow.
But one of the defensive backs, after about the third time I ran it, he got a pretty good lick on me, and he was on top of me, and he pointed at me and said, "Bon, there's a $1,500 bounty on your ass, and I'm getting it." I said, we might better tighten our chin straps a little bit for that
day. Hey, so how do you remember responding? I'm trying to imagine you just laughing it off, or you were like,
I kind of did. I was kind of shaking off about a half a concussion, so I didn't.
Oh, Lord. Lord. And so when you're running that wishbone, right?
Right.
Before you ever knew how to run it.
Yes.
What the heck is going on in your mind? When does it become second nature where it just becomes like, I got this, I don't have to think about it?
It took a while, probably about half a year that year before you really started, things started slowing down a little bit. But I tell you that the greatest thing was with Coach Ballard. He knew it so well and taught me to recognize defenses, not only the fronts, but we had to recognize the fronts and what they tendencies were. Were they slanting this way? Were they slanting that way? Was the end going to, coming for the fullback? So you kind of got an idea. That's really what happened. You kind of get an idea of what's going to happen. And the more and more you see defenses and secondaries and how they're going to support the run and stuff like that, you get a better idea of what they're going to do. So you can kind of anticipate, of what you're fixing to see. But it's tough, now these guys, they're 5 yards deep and running the zone read. But man, I was up there so close to them, I could count their nose hairs. They were right in your face. So it was a little bit quicker. And, if you made a mistake, it didn't end up too good.
did you pass out of it?
We passed a little bit. I think we averaged, 10 times a game. I think 10 or 11 times a game over my career. But the thing too, though, was, it was either hit or miss, but we rarely threw on first down. So, usually when we threw, it was everybody in the stadium knew we were going to throw. We were within 3 or 4 yards of the line of scrimmage. So there's a lot of hands in the air right there. So you get a lot of tip balls. So It was, you had to find alleyways, and had to wait on guys to get to that little hole, that little window they call, get to that window. So it was a little different than, sitting back or dropping back and throwing the ball with a little breathing room.
I'm just trying to see when you let go of the ball, what decision you make, who you give it to. Do you keep it yourself? I mean, so much. So with you, and then you're dealing with this really prolific college career, you've beaten huge teams, you beat Alabama, you beat LSU every time, and you got to look at the next level, right? You haven't thrown the ball. I mean,
Right. Is
it because of the system you look back and if you'd had the opportunity to throw, and were you a passing quarterback before you came to?
Well, yeah, State? In high school, we ran, pro offenses. We had the eye, we had, the wing right and left, and we'd do the traditional sprint out but we threw from the pocket, and I only played 1 year, but yes, most definitely. And people have asked me, Steve, it said, would the wishbone work? I said, yeah, it would work if you could get somebody to come run it. That's the thing. You're not going to be able to get an athlete to come run it because they want to go to the schools that are putting the ball in the air and that's for that next level. And that wasn't something that I was thinking of. I was thinking about coming and playing, back at Mississippi State. And, if it would have been Bob Tyler that was still at Mississippi State when I came, then things may have been different, but we ran the wishbone and I enjoyed every minute of it. Now it was fun. I got to, I was involved in every play. So it wasn't, hand the ball off and watch him run, watch Bo or Herschel run. It was, you were involved in every play, which I love.
Yeah, I know you love to be involved in every play in life, by the way. I've seen it. right. I know you, you live life to its fullest. I love you're just, there's just a smile about you when you walk in, even when you're not smiling, I know the smile is coming. It's just it's just barely behind the surface.
Well, and, you catch me at a good time, Steve, because always, man, I love seeing y'all and I love seeing all the guys and all that. So you catch me at a good time when I'm running making sure my dump truck's out here. Sometimes I don't have a smile on my face.
I love it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We're with my pal, John Bond, 2005 Hall of Fame inductee into Hell State and just one of the true good guys. I mean, like I said, my only experience is high school growing up or junior high and high school and not liking our rivals in other schools, not liking the players there, never thinking it would ever happen when you would have a friendly moment. And then when you get out of that competitive mode, you hate the fact that you love them all.
Right.
which is what happened. So we'll be right back. You can't help but love John Bond. Number 13. Gino Toretto, our buddy Gino Toretto was number 13, John.
Yes,
you and Gino.
Yes, he was. There were some good ones. There were some good ones. Dan Marino.
He was all right. He was okay.
Yeah, he was okay.
He was okay. We're going to be right back. Before we go, we're talking catfish. You're going to talk Mississippi. You're going to talk Macon, Mississippi, which John is dang close to Hell State. And I have been on the, property watching the whole process happen. It's amazing. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com and visit Mississippi.org. Man, football is a big part of who we are as a state. I put it in our state song. There you go. We'll be right back. I'm Steve Azar with John Bond.
Hey, this is Bob, and if...
Silver whistle and an old clipboard, a polo shirt and a pair
and that's a great
of gray
song,
shorts in that summer haze.
I love you. John Bond's making me feel good. That's what he's doing. He's my guest today, 2005 inductee into Mississippi State Football Hall of Fame. He roamed the field back from 80 to 84, and man, did I love watching him play. I wasn't the only one. Garth Brooks, well-documented, loving number 13. I think he wore his jersey. We're going to talk about that in a minute. It's always a good story to rehash. But before we rehash, I want on your plate, in your mind, if it's made in Mississippi and it's catfish, it's Superior Catfish. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. Visit Mississippi.org. Man, they've been my sidekick, I've been their sidekick for many years as a music and culture ambassador of the state. I've gotten to understand how valuable our arts, our museums, and economic impact beyond belief. Just amazing. Go to visit Mississippi.org and help spread the love. All right. John Bond is my guest today. Hey, John, how did you and MB meet, by the way? I know you've been married just long enough for you both to have a different story, but from your viewpoint, what is it?
Because she, I think I was coaching at Mississippi State when I met her, and I was trying to get her to come help me with this computer stuff. You know, this is back in the 90s. And I think she just walked by my office and flipped me off, you know. You know how MB is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 you know. Yeah, so MB looks like she was an athlete.
She was, you know, cheerleader, basketball, track, all that kind of stuff. So, yes, she was.
So, okay, so since you're not giving me too much of the skinny, like when the first kiss happened, when the, you know, where you asked her, where did you ask her to marry you? What was that like?
Oh, where were we? We were in, we're at the beach. And as a matter of fact, it's coming up. I think it was on Valentine's.
Look at you. You're a romantic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure am. You talked to her about that.
I think I've actually gotten you turn red a little bit. I can't see you, but I think I'm feeling it. You're Valentine red. Your face is Valentine red right now.
Well, let's put it that she made me ask her twice. she didn't believe me the night before. So the next morning, I asked her.
That's funny. Oh, that's funny. I love it. Hey, look, I was supposed to go to Lake Conway where Gwen and I had one of our first fall in love moments. And by accident, I went to Lake Totsuck. And so that's where I got engaged. And then I had a bottle of champagne and I spilt it everywhere. And then I wrote a song for her and I don't even know if I got the words right. And so then we went to, the Capitol Hotel to celebrate, and there was nobody in the entire restaurant but me and her and two others, and they sit us with them. And, you know, and I go, why are we sitting with them? Well, you know, they have those long booths in the back of the wall, and so everybody, and then they have the small tables. So we were literally next to them on the table, but we could reach out and touch them. And all of a sudden, I go, hey, look, we want to be alone. We just got engaged. I mean, I'm just so stupid that I said that, but I did say that. And they go, oh man, congratulations. We know y'all stay. We'd love to celebrate that with you. And da da da. And I said, no, no, we're good. And so I get them to move us because there was nothing but empty tables. And I'm serious. Nobody else but the four of us. And I go, why would they sit us with them or that close to them? And Gwen goes, not only that, that's our governor and his wife, Bill and Hillary Clinton. Why would they do that? I swear, that's a true story. I'm not going to go any further than that, but that happened. Anyway, all right, so I don't know where that discussion even, where did that happen? Oh, I was asking about MB. All right, let's keep talking about family. I'm watching you do some posts about your baby girl. What's going on athletically with your kids, and can you see it on the next level?
I can see Emily running track on the next level, yes. I can. She has the long legs and can run. Her basketball skills, she loves basketball. You know, it just kind of keeps her in shape for track. So she can actually run really good. She does the hurdles and she ran the 100 meter the other day just in practice and then did really well. You know, you get down to 13 for a 16, 17 year old. It's not bad. 13 Amazing. Seconds, 100 meter. And that was just really a work, you know, just a workout. It wasn't even a time deal, you know, where they were seeing what you were going to run. So, and she really enjoys track. She likes running and, that she takes that after her grandma. Her grandma was basketball and track as well. So she gets it honest. And Parker, you know, he's the all three guy. He's football, baseball, and basketball.
Yeah.
Just got done with basketball and he loves it. And just if it's got ball in it, he loves it. You know,
so that makes total sense. There was no way that somewhere between the gene pool of you and MB that wasn't going to happen. You weren't going to all of a sudden call and go, Steve, why do I have a guitar player and singer songwriter in my bunch? It wasn't going to happen. But
no.
Let me ask you this: as far as Parker's concerned, wait, how old is Parker?
Parker's 11.
Okay, he's just 11.
Yeah.
When do you start noticing, like, the work ethic versus the talent and when it starts to clash and really become something?
We throw every day. Every day he's throwing something or shooting something, you know. Now hunting did get in the way a little bit. He loves to hunt. And so we spent a lot of time in the woods this year, and he had a good year, so he really enjoys that. But, boy, as soon as it's over, he's got the reeling rods out, and he's ready to start throwing the baseball, you know. So he's on it. He's got a clock in his head on when things are starting and stopping.
Yeah, well, think about it. That's old school. I mean, that's how we were when we were growing up.
Yes.
We went from one sport to the other. You never could get, you know, well, you could. You were capable of getting great at a lot of sports because it was one of your true gifts that you were given. How hard did you work back then, and how hard do your kids have to work now versus, you know, and I know – talent has a lot to do with it, but you and I both have seen people with less talent pass people with more talent because they just worked harder.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing that has changed a lot of games in modern sports just because of the, I think the kids miss something by not playing all three, or playing more than multiple sports, not necessarily those three, but multiple sports because you get, it's like, who was it? Phil Niekro that was it Phil Niekro or one of the guys? He would throw the football in the off season to get his arm stronger, you know, and things like that. So things, all those sports, those three sports all work really well together. And I was telling Parker this the other day, believe it or not, we had this conversation and I said, Parker, look, baseball is not the most athletic sport, but you've got to be really smart and you've got to think ahead. And you have to know, you know, if the ball comes to me, where am I going with the ball? Who's on first, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And where is he going? If he hits a high, you know, a pop up, where do I go with the ball? So you got to be thinking ahead. So it really helps you with that. Basketball's got a lot of speed in it. It's moving up, down. You got to be in really good shape and a really good athlete to play that. And football's kind of got a mix of all of that. So all three sports blend really well together. And so they all three will help you. And, you know, at the upcoming seasons. And so I think he really took hold of that. But to get back to your question about modern sports, everybody works so hard now. You know, Steve, we didn't do any. We'd get ready for football season 2 weeks before football season. You know, they'd get us out in the and start running us in Valdosta. They'd start running us 2 weeks. Now, we ran for about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And everybody puked their guts up.
Yeah, they gave you salt tablets back then, but they wouldn't give you any water.
Right.
Trying to kill us. They were trying to kill us.
They were. Yeah. They were. And so it has changed so much. I mean, it's everything is pretty much year-round now. And so people can get so much better and so much more specific talent. They can work on the things that they do. Now, you would get thrown out of the quarterback position if you threw the ball the way some of these guys are throwing it these days. You know, to get around that jumping defensive end that's rushing you, throwing sidearm around him, things like that. You would get your butt jumped, by the coach, by throwing the ball like that. So things have changed so much. It's so much more of an athletic game. Football is, you don't have the big bruising fullback and I kind of miss it, but you don't have the big bruising fullback and all that. There are a bunch of athletes at every position, even the O-line, it's crazy.
I love it. We're with John Bond. I'm getting educated. I love it. And I love the fact that he gets to enjoy his children at that just incredible, cool age when he finally gets to really be nervous. Probably never nervous when he played, never. But when you're watching your kids, man, it's insane the difference.
My goodness.
Well,
it is incredible.
I can tell you what I'm not nervous about. I'm not nervous about some superior catfish. That's always game day. Game time, always made and produced right here in Mississippi. Go to superiorcatfish.com. John, you like how I segued into that?
That was great.
Let me see if I can segue into Visit Mississippi. Visit Mississippi. Come on. John Bond and I, we will be right back. Don't go anywhere. 'Cause I'm the coach. I'm the coach. Hey, folks, Steve Azar here. And like my song says, I'm still trying to find my way around. So wherever life takes you, Guaranty Bank is here to help. Visit with a bank representative to make sure your accounts and services meet your current and future needs. Give us a call at 662-247-1454 and visit one of our friendly 25 branches or check out more at gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
John Bond is my guest, Hall of Fame 2005 inductee, Mississippi Hell State. Became a really good friend since moving back. I was a fan back in the day. He's a couple years older than me, so those 2 years are very impressionable years when you're watching a quarterback do wonders out there and do his thing. John's personality has always been larger than the field, and I think that makes a huge difference as far as how successful he came. Speaking of success, go to superiorcatfish.com. Their farms are in Mississippi. It's produced right here in Mississippi. And come on. So you got to check it out and visit mississippi.org. Plan your next road trip. Be proud of your Mississippi like John is. John is not from Mississippi, but he is an adopted son like Jim Gallagher Jr. Arguably, which one of them or the bigger adopted sons? I'm going to give them both a 10 out of 10. When you decide to come home, John, did you ever, first of all, I know you leave to go to Saskatchewan and Cleveland and all that, but what gets you to come back to Mississippi versus moving back home to Georgia where you grew up as a kid?
Yeah, well, people like you, it's just the people around here, the people that I've known. And, believe it or not, Steve, I was actually born in Starkville and grew grew up there with the Davises, Kermit Davis and those guys. Mm-hmm. And they, I still talk to Kermit and Bill and Jenny. Nancy and Big Kerm and all that. So we still get together at least, you know, once a year during football season. So Coach Davis was probably one of the main reasons why I came back, just because of that family feel, and I knew him and I was very comfortable with him. You know, it was hard to tell Bear Bryant that I wasn't going to Alabama, but it was easy to, you know, let Kermit and them know how much I wanted to play for Mississippi State. So that had a lot to do with it. But yeah, I still, even my guys, I went down, I was in Valdosta, you know, they just got hit with a hurricane, believe it or not, this past year. And I went down and helped the company that we worked with, Ashbritt, down on our coast after Katrina, help those guys kind of get their foot in the door and get to know the right people in Valdosta so they could get that place cleaned up. And so I get back to Valdosta quite often. I had lunch with John Lastinger, and you may remember this guy, Wayne Peace, who was a quarterback at Florida. Wayne and I were being recruited, you know, in the same year and all that. And he went to Florida. Of course, I came to Mississippi State. But so I get back there quite often. And I talked to Buck and those guys, Buck Ballou and Skin, and a few of the guys that I played football with. So it's hard not to get back there, but I really love the state of Mississippi.
I love it. Well, the state of Mississippi loves you. Turning down Coach Bryant is obviously like turning down Coach Saban, right? So
right.
If you're going to compare it to anything, was it playing time? Was it Coach Ballard? Was it coming back to Starkville where you were born? What was it?
I think, you know, I had watched the Wishbone, and it really looked like a lot of fun. I didn't know the punishment. I mean, I kind of realized it, but didn't take long to figure out the punishment you were going to get. But the kind of high school career that I went through as far as getting hit and beat up and all that kind of stuff, I think I was well prepared for that type of offense. So I felt good about it. And Alabama ran something that they ran the option. They didn't run it. It just like Mississippi State did, and like Emory did, but they had the option, you know, in their arsenal, and they needed an athletic quarterback, and it was real hard to turn him down. But yeah, I think for the most part, it was Coach Ballard, and it was the Davises, and coming back home to Starkville, I think that was kind of the final straw, I guess.
And then you get to beat him. I mean, do you have a moment at the end of the game, or does Coach Bryant ignore you?
No, well, he was hunting Coach Ballard, and I was off hugging cheerleaders. So I don't know. I don't know where we crossed paths there, but I think
God have mercy. I love it.
He said, hey to me before the game, and, you know, spoke briefly, just, you know, because we were sitting there warming up. Don Jacobs and the Alabama quarterbacks are right there next to us. And Coach Bryant, he had just walked from, you know, leaning up against the goalpost to midfield and spoke the afternoon, son.
Yeah. You son of a, why'd you turn me down? Why'd you turn me down? Yeah. I'm trying to imitate Coach Bryant. I have no clue what I just did. I just no clue. My sidekick, Jason, you know, my percussionist in my band who does, I'm a backup singing, I write songs. So anyway, he's been with me for 28 years. Anytime I do any sort of imitation, he said, you know, that sounded Irish. And I said, no matter what language. And I said, come on, man. I said, you gotta be kidding. So I'll reach out to him when he's in Nashville, when we're not on the road or not playing, just to, you know, say I've been practicing my British accent. I feel like if I don't open my mouth as wide, he goes, Steve, do not do that. Step away from the imitations of any other language. Do not.
That's great.
He's so funny, man. He can do them all perfect. You know, like he's like the chameleon of voices. Anyway. All right. We're talking to John Bond, my dear pal. John, when you're there, first of all, storming the field, was that allowed back then? Did that happen?
It happened, but it was kind of a half-ass storm in the field.
Yeah.
There were people that ended up on the field, but it wasn't like tear down the goalposts, and it was in Jackson, you know, so it was different, but yes, there were a lot of people on the field after the game.
Does, your time there while you're running the Wishbone, and, you know, we grew up in the same conference, as J.G. George and Willie Satellite Totten. And Jerry Rice. So you guys are all in school at the same time, correct?
Right. Yes.
So what was that like watching all that going on over there? And Coach
Jerry, you know, Jerry was from Crawford. So Jerry, during summers, he would come and we'd work out and throw it. You know, I'd throw to Jerry during the summer and all that kind of stuff. So I saw him quite often, you know, in the summertime.
He had that crazy work ethic. Did you ever experience doing it with him?
Yes. And we were in Shire Field House, which was our indoor facility one year. And we had a white guy, Eric Poor, from where was he from? Anyway, around Meridian. He was from like Chunky or something like that. And he was really fast. And, you know, and he and Jerry raced, and he actually beat Jerry. But then when you get out there and you're running routes together, Jerry was running just as fast straight ahead, and then he took a right. He never even slowed down.
Amazing.
That's how quick his brakes were. I mean, you had to throw three steps ahead. You know, if you're throwing an out route, you better be ready when he's about three steps from making that cut.
What do you think that drove him with discipline-wise? You know, his in-laws lived over in Cypress Hills here in Greenville, and he'd come to Greenville, and every once in a while we'd play hoop, but he'd be working out all day. We'd see him running up and down the levee, running all day, working out all day, playing basketball. I mean, what was it that drove him, you think? Because he was known for working out harder than anyone.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of that was his dad, you know. I mean, growing up, and he worked all day with his dad, and, you know, he was a bricklayer, and they built houses and stuff like that. So, I mean, he was working from a young age. So he didn't know.
Yeah.
He didn't have much downtime. And if he did, I don't think his dad let him have much. You know what I mean? I mean, he was always doing. But he was very competitive too. And like I said, he was an athlete, and he loved all those sports. So,
hey, John, you see Notre Dame play Navy every year. A lot of my family went there. My dad, my brother, my nephew.
Right.
Da, da, da. Okay. So, we actually, our oldest son, Strax, best friend growing up, Jackson Pittman, wanted to play at Notre Dame. His dad played at Tennessee State. His mom was a basketball player there, I'm pretty sure. And he's been Brentwood Academy's defensive coach for many years. But all of their kids, four boys, their names started with J's. They held them all back in the sixth grade, so they repeated sixth grade. And
all right.
They all went, I think, pretty sure, they all went and played college ball. But Jackson was big. He had the best hands. And he wound up going to Navy and started for a number of years at nose guard. And he actually beat Notre Dame one of the years. Him and Navy beat him. And I was so proud of him because, you know, he wanted to be at Notre Dame, and they didn't look at him. He was undersized and all that. But, you know, big heart. Really, really, like I said, great hands and great feet. Good basketball player. You could throw it to him down even as a little, you know, as a fourth, fifth, and sixth grader. You could count on his hands every time if you just threw it up and down.
Yeah.
He was bigger than everybody, you know. But anyway, with that said, why do more teams not run – what you ran, this wishbone, this sort of crazy option with all of these choices? I mean, especially when you're really one of the only ones in the country doing it. I know there was another team this year that I saw that was running it and that nobody could beat them. It might have been D2 level. But the bottom line is, why aren't we seeing it at all why aren't we seeing it more from teams when it causes so much trouble when you're not practicing against it?
Right. And I thought, well, you know, you'll see it more in high school. And that's because, you know, the kids don't really have a choice of where to go to school. That's their school. So that's where they go to school. We're going to run the wishbone. But when they have that option to, if they're good enough, I think we were talking about it earlier about, well, you know, I'm going to get pigeonholed as being a running, non-throwing quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to go do that. I think it's just harder to recruit guys to get to come and run it. I think it would be fantastic if you could get the athletes to come and run it. I think you could go up and down the field on it. You know, if you get the offensive line, see, that's another thing. The offensive line, you know, they want to go where there's pass blocking, where there's a lot of pass blocking. They don't want to come off the ball, you know, the old school coming off the ball and driving people down the field. And, you know, and that's what it takes, you know, in the wishbone. You've got to have guys that will come off the football, not that, you know, setting that foot back and just deflecting guys and keeping them off the quarterback. So,
yeah,
I think that has a lot to do with it. It's just hard to get the guys to come run it.
Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. John Bond and I, we will be right back. Don't go away. Hello, I'm John Bond is my guest, Hall of Fame 2005 inductee, Mississippi Hell State. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. NILMedia.com. It's produced right here in Mississippi with the way that the NIL is and the portal. You look at one of our tailbacks, you know, Johnson got to play in the national championship, but Trey was undefeated as well, 13-0, and of course they lost their quarterback, and they, you know, Alabama jumped them, so Florida State doesn't go. But Trey and all them opted out. Trey's going to, you know, he's way up in the draft as far as running backs with Mel Kiper. So what, I mean, okay, so we're sort of, college is like the pros now. So you're dealing with a different group of kids now that's getting paid. So what's that going to do for college coaches?
You're looking at the same deal, man. And I think with Lane Kiffin, you know, Lane's one of those young guys that guys want to go play for. And I think that's why you've seen such a difference in Mississippi State and Lane. You know, Lane's been there and established. You know, Levy comes. We didn't know we were going to get Levy. I kind of had an idea, but, you know, we didn't know. He wasn't signed up. So I think once he got in, I think he made a little bit of a difference. You know, I think Mike Leach was that guy too. I think quarterbacks especially wanted to come play for Mike Leach. Receivers especially wanted to come play for Mike, the offensive line. For those reasons we were talking about, you know, not running the wishbone, we're going to do the opposite. We're going to do the wishbone in the air. We're going to deliver the ball to a lot of people. And I think they love playing that. The offensive line loves blocking for it. And the receivers love catching the ball and the quarterbacks love throwing it. So.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that has a lot to do with it. And I think Lane is young and I think he's, you know, he's shown that he can get along with those guys and he's a guy that they can relate to.
Yeah. The portal, he's number one right now. And the athletes he's bringing in are insane. I mean, they're going to have a lot of, hype for sure at the beginning of the year. And he has such a good year this year. Yeah. I like him. And obviously Pete Golden, you know, he's a Delta State boy. So it's, he's a great, great, great guy, and I'm really happy for him. He's having a great recruiting season on the defensive side of the ball. You know, speaking of Kermit, we saw his house the other day, by the way. We were in Ole Miss we were in Oxford for Marshall Henderson and Chloe's baby shower. Marshall's about to be a dad. He's going to be got a boy coming. Have mercy. Anyway, so we were there, and we were out with friends of ours, the Suarez, as you know, Neil and Paige, and Suarez. And we were at their place on the course, and they were going, there's Kermit's house all lit up in the corner over there. And I was going there for two reasons, to get that, to see them and do that and get fitted for Blue Delta jeans, which I wanted to forever. And I can't tell you how good they fit. I'm like, on stage, you know, we got to have them fit right. I got to dog it. And so anyway, I shout out to them because Josh and Nick, I really appreciate those guys for letting me come in and they got me fitted really great. All right. So. Oh, and by the way, we got to see Linda and Morgan Freeman. Morgan was wonderful to sit with and hang. I love that man. He's very good to me in my career, for sure. And it's always good, you know, sitting with God, as they say, right?
He seems like a great guy.
All right. Okay, so before we go, we got a little bit of time. You're watching Josh Hubbard. He looks like a star already, very comfortable at Mississippi State, right? And do you credit that to – he started as an eighth grader, ninth grader at MRA, and he was that successful, right? What, 4,000, whatever points he scored, crazy number of points. Do you feel like he's, as a freshman and being with seniors and fifth-year seniors and maybe sixth-year with COVID, that it's just a skip in the park like it was for him growing up as a kid?
Well, it looks like it right now. I mean, he stepped up and in the first of the season, he was coming off the bench and hitting 20 and 25 points.
Yeah.
And, as a starter, I think he's just going to do that much better. You know, I got to watch him in high school because, you know, Emily is at MRA and man, when his jump shot, he jumps, I promise you, 4 feet.
Well,
I guarantee it's every bit of his vertical. He comes so far. And that's why Kermit loved him. That's why he, you know, recruited him so hard. I got to see Kermit while he was recruiting him, you know, down here. So, I just think he's a phenomenal athlete. I think he's I think he's a little better. Well, I don't want to say better. He's a little different than Chris Jackson. You remember Chris Jackson?
Sure, man. You know, are you kidding?
He wasn't that tall, but man, he could jump and he could shoot. And I don't know, Josh is a lot like him. I mean, he can really light it up. And I can't wait to watch him grow and get better.
Well, it looks so comfortable and easy to him. I mean, like it's slow. It looks slow to him, right?
It does. It does. I mean, everything he does, he's just in front of everybody, and he's a blast to watch.
Yeah, if he's 5'10", he plays 6'8". I'm telling you, because he does elevate like nothing I've ever seen when he's shooting. I mean, there's a lot of space between him and the floor, that's for sure.
Yes. Crazy. Don't get hurt coming down.
Yeah, I know. No. Could you imagine? Well, you're a lot taller than me. You would probably survive, but if I was up there anywhere near a rim, my hand, then I would have to ask for a ladder come down. And a hug. I need a hug, too. But on the way down. All right. Well, John, that's all the time we got. You're the best. I love you, pal. Hugs to MB. Hug to the kids. Congratulations on that they're doing. And we'll see you no later than June, but I hope I'm going to see you before June.
That'd be great. Love you too, Steve. Tell everybody, hey.
All right, SuperiorCatfish.com. John Bond and I will eat that any day of the week. Go
all
to Macon, Mississippi, right where he used to roam the fields at number 13. Hall of Famer John Bond's been my guest. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. Produce right here in Mississippi. Visit Mississippi.org. Plan your road trip. Be proud of your Mississippi. I'm Steve Azar. Later on.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. Where you can take your sweet time.
Keeping you up to date with news, weather, and politics that affect you and your family. Up-to-the-minute reports on air and always online at supertalk.fm. Your statewide news network, Supertalk Mississippi News, at supertalk.fm. A Supertalk Mississippi media production.